Hello, and welcome to Stronger Together,
a podcast about strength, wellness, and navigating the hard things.
I'm Charlotte.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're yoga and mindfulness instructors who know that the path to wellness isn't easy.
And it's even harder without community.
We're here to offer real conversations,
raw and honest moments,
and to remind you that you're never alone.
So make yourself comfy.
And let's do it.
Because we are all stronger together. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. So today is the last episode of season four, and it's all about you. We'll be coming at you with the answers to your questions and discussing your pain points when it comes to wellness. But before we get started, let's take a nice breath together. Inhale. Exhale. Hey, Char.
Hi, Les. Can you believe it?
I can't. We're here.
Episode 60.
That's insane.
I can't get over it.
I'm so excited.
Me too.
And I'm so excited for what we've accomplished, but then also sad. I'm always sad when we're on hiatus, but that's a good thing because, I don't know, it makes it more meaningful when we come back next season.
It does. And it's like that coexisting of emotions that we always talk about. It's like bittersweet because we're not going to talk to each other every week about this deep stuff, but also like we're going to be saving our energy and making notepads with all these episodes for season five.
I love it. Okay. I love it. And I love how we're ending season four. I love that we're getting feedback from our listeners and our community. And we're just going to talk a little bit about some of the questions that we have. And I feel like these questions are so great for anybody because wherever you are on your wellness journey, whether you're just beginning, you feel like you're kind of like finally gain some momentum, or you've been doing this forever, I feel like these questions can relate to anybody.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the one thing that I love about social media is that we can ask these questions and get input from everyone listening, because we're all on different paths. But like the point of this podcast, our paths intersect at some points, whether it's we actually know each other or we're going through the same thing. These questions are awesome because I think that it hits, like you said, a lot of different pain points that are common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you are, you might be in it now, you might be like, oh, that happened to me 10 years ago. Or you might be like, I don't know what they're talking about. And then in 5 years, you'll be like, oh.
Yeah. You have that tool in your back pocket because of this episode.
I kind of remember Char and Leslie talking about that.
Okay. So you have the questions.
Yeah. Let's jump in.
What's the first one? What do you want to start with?
All right. The first one is a big one. And it actually reminds me a lot of things that were talked about when I did yoga teacher training, like what feels like a million years ago. But the question is it normal for your relationships to fracture or end when you are healing or prioritizing your wellness?
That's a deep one.
Yeah.
And I feel like such a common one too, because you and I have talked privately about, and maybe we've mentioned on the podcast too, but how during our healing journeys and as we evolve and get to know ourselves better and explore what aligns with us and our values in life, our social circles have definitely shifted.
Big time.
Big time. Yeah. I remember when I was in high school, I had tons of friends. My social circle was humongous. And we'd have like a group of 10 girls that just hung out and had sleepovers all the time. And fast forward to age 30, that circle has shifted both in size and in who those people are. Mm. And I think it's super normal.
Yeah. Like my first answer is like a resounding yes. It's totally, totally normal. But just because it's normal doesn't mean it's not painful.
Yeah.
And I think that when you're healing, it can make people who aren't healing or who aren't prioritizing their wellness very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Because you're kind of holding up a mirror. Mm-hmm. You're saying, this is what I'm choosing to change about myself. And we know that our social circles kind of are a reflection of who we are and what stage of life we're in. So it can be very jarring if one of, like, let's flip the script a little bit. If one of your best friends was like, I no longer like this about myself, so I'm choosing to change it. If we're not ready to change that thing, it's kind of like, ooh, they must not like this about me, or judging ourselves because we're still doing whatever that thing is. So yeah.
I think that it can go, like two things can happen, right? It's like you can evolve together and then like kind of reimagine or restructure that relationship. And, or you can say, this relationship is not supporting my wellness anymore, and I have to either end it or let it fizzle out or whatever that is. Either way, it's uncomfortable. And I'm speaking from experience, because in my wellness journey, I have definitely maybe not so much made the conscious decision, like this relationship isn't supportive for me anymore. It just kind of happened organically. Mm-hmm. But if I felt as empowered back then as I do now, I probably would have felt comfortable or strong enough to say, this relationship isn't supporting my wellness. But it probably looked a little bit more like avoidance, or, you know, just like kind of skirting around the issue as opposed to really advocating for my own wellness. But I can say that even if you evolve together and make the choice, it's still sticky. It's still not easy. One of my yoga teachers used to say, you know, get ready for this. He actually prepared us for this. This was my advanced teacher training. And he said, you know, you're going to notice that people aren't going to want to be around you as much. And I definitely felt that, like, at times. And it's like, also too, when you're constantly talking about yoga, like, not everybody wants to do that. And that's also okay.
Yeah.
But, do you remember this? Because we used to say this in teacher training too. He would say, less fun, more joy.
Yes.
Because there are certain things, like, maybe you don't want to go out anymore till 3 o'clock in the morning because you prioritize your wellness by getting up early in the morning and doing yoga or taking a walk or going to the gym or something like that, or meditating or journaling, whatever that is. So all of a sudden, certain behaviors don't support your wellness. Mm-hmm. And then the people that you shared those behaviors with aren't very happy.
Mm, yeah.
And then in the beginning, maybe you're not so happy because you're choosing not to do things that you used to do. And you're like, well, how do I fill my time now? And what does this look like? I remember the first time I made a shift, I was pretty young and I didn't know I was making the shift until I was able to kind of look back and reflect. Mm-hmm. And I can remember my grandmother lived with us. So she was in the top half of the house and we were in the bottom half of the house. And I can remember, like, on a Saturday night, like, as like a 19-year-old, like, hanging out with my grandma. Mm. Like, how awesome is that? Right.
Yeah.
But at the time I was like, oh my God, really? Like, what am I doing? But I knew that I wasn't in supportive relationships and I had to reestablish what I was doing, where I was going in my life. And then that's when I ended up heading to a different school. I got my associate. So I graduated from a 2-year school and then I went to a 4-year school. And then that's when I met my now husband and some of my, you know, life friends, but it took some time and it was very uncomfortable. And I'm not going to even pretend that it wasn't hard.
Yeah. It's reminding me a lot of the phrase that we all know, growing pains, because as we grow and we evolve, it's not comfortable. It's right. Not easy. It's all new territory, and it can also bring up the feelings of grief, which we've talked a lot about on this podcast, because you and I have experienced grief very much. When we are growing and evolving and feeling that discomfort that comes with kind of like shedding our old skin and growing into our new embodied being, if that's a great way to describe it.
I love that.
When we're doing that, we're almost leaving behind the things that and the people that were once so comfortable and that did support us at that time in our journeys. And I really feel that coexistence of sadness, anger, denial, when it comes to healing and evolving.
Yeah. You're literally like shedding a skin, right? That's what it seems like. And so, like, just to answer the question. So yes, it is normal, but to just like go deeper, like, that doesn't mean that it's not uncomfortable and that you don't, you aren't like validated and feeling like, oh, I don't know if this is the right decision for me. This feels challenging. Right. So this is where uncovering like that deeper sense of knowing, like, what does the gnawing in your gut say? Not the fear part of you that says, oh my gosh, I'm never going to have friends again. So I have to stay with this crowd, or I'm going to stay in this relationship, even though my partner is not supporting my wellness, or maybe my partner is even like an absolute hindrance to my wellness. Whereas if I say, hey, I want to go take a walk and, you know, get a green juice. And they're like, what are you kidding me? Like, you know, let's go day drinking or whatever that is, like, whatever it feels like that they're purposely almost trying to sabotage you. If your gut is telling you, I deserve better than this, or this isn't right, or something about this just feels off. That's that deeper sense of knowing. And we have to be strong enough to listen to it.
Yeah.
But it takes time. Like you need to develop the confidence to prioritize your wellness, because it does take time and fear is real. And, you know, if you're in it right now and you're kind of feeling like, oh my gosh, this is me, but I don't feel strong enough yet to end those relationships, that's okay.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just know that that might be part of the path. But the beautiful thing about this, and I believe this wholeheartedly, is when you stick to this path and you prioritize your wellness and your higher being, you find those people. Mm-hmm. You find the people that support your wellness. You find the people that are so happy and excited for you.
Yeah.
And then life gets easier. Life feels richer. Life feels less like there's a constant obstacle being placed in your path.
Definitely. Yeah. A lot of us are on parallel paths. And if it feels like we're not, know that we are. It's just about putting yourselves in that area where those common people are. Because if you are leaving a relationship to focus on your well-being in one area, there's a whole community of people who are already in that area, literally just waiting for you to jump in their arms.
No, I just got chills.
Yeah, it exists. And we will find it. And sometimes it's like, oh, I'll never find it. We will.
Yeah, we will. And it takes trial and error and exploration, and it takes courage. Like it takes courage. Like that's what, when I see somebody walk into the yoga studio for the first time, I am so proud of them, because I know the courage that took to come into an unknown place and try something new, or, you know, go to like a circle or a gathering, or, you know, or something, or go on a retreat or take a workshop where you don't know anybody.
Yeah.
That is so courageous. Or starting over. Yeah. Like those of you that are starting over right now, you are freaking badass. Like you are so strong. And I know there are moments where you feel, I'm getting like teared up right now, because I know there are moments where you feel like weak and that you feel like you're not going to be able to do it. But like, you are so strong to even like think about making a change or think about walking away and starting over. I hope that I hope that this answer feels supportive to somebody listening that's going through that right now.
Yeah. And last thing with this question too, like for those of you who have chosen to walk away from certain relationships and are feeling that difficulty and that discomfort, know that you are also modeling this for somebody who might not feel strong enough to make that decision. And your courage will inspire other people to be like, you know what? If they could do it, I could do it. Because we are all stronger together.
Stronger together. Oh, I love that.
Me too.
Okay. First question already made me cry. But actually this question, I just realized I had this listed as the last question just because that was the order, but it's so connected and we kind of already touched upon it, but it says, how can I make improvements when people around me don't feel supportive? So that's part of it, right? Part of those relationships will dissolve. But I just want to kind of say, let's say it's something like, let's say it's a person in your life that you don't feel comfortable. I mean, I think to say you can't, I mean, we always have the power to choose who's in our lives and who shares our energy and our space, but let's say it's not something that you feel ready. I think having like a mantra or having like a response, that's been something that's really has been helpful for me. Like creating something that you say when somebody feels like they're not supportive. Like, so instead of saying like, you know, I wish that you could just understand like that this is important to me, right? Mm-hmm. That feels argumentative. Mm-hmm. But if we say something like, I don't know, like this feels really good for my healing right now. And this is what I'm focusing on. And I still have time for you and we can still spend time together, but it may just look different. Mm. I don't know. Do you have something that's like popping into your mind for that? Like
the only thing, it's not a specific sentence, but I was talking about it with my sisters yesterday, the difference between like, I can't and I won't. And it's really establishing the boundary that you have about the situation. So if somebody's like, oh, have this piece of cake. And again, I'm not shaming anybody for eating cake. I freaking love cake. But if somebody's like, have this piece of cake and you feel like it's not supporting your wellness, the difference between, oh, I can't and oh, I won't. If you say, oh, I can't have a slice of cake, that kind of gives the person the in to be like, sure you can. Why not? Why can't you? And it's this, it's, they want a deeper discussion about it. Whereas if you're like, I won't, it's kind of closing the door. And this is the decision that you have made. This is the boundary that you're setting. And your mind is not going to be changed.
That's hard.
Yes. And I had to do this when I opened my first studio with people wanting discounts and stuff like that. At first I would be like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't give you a discount. And I got a lot of pushback, but I'm your friend. I've known you for this amount of years. I took class with you at this other studio versus, oh, that's not something that we do here. And I had to stick up for myself because opening a studio is not cheap and I needed to make the money. And so the way to make the money is to charge people money. that's the way businesses work, unfortunately. But that was my boundary. And it was, this is what's working for my business. So this is how it's going to go.
Right. Yeah. So I think it's finding something that you can say, that sets up that healthy boundary for you. And then in that same process, putting out that energy that allows you to attract the people who will support your journey. Mm-hmm. We don't have to try to convert everybody to this lifestyle, right? So if somebody's not there yet, for whatever reason it is, from, you know, their karmic load or whatever's happening in their lives right now, or wherever they are, we have to remember to respect how they feel. So if they feel it's ridiculous that you want to get up, go for a run, have a green juice, and I don't know, take a yoga class, let them think you're ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right. It's their lack of support is more about them than it is about you.
100%.
So when we realize that our behavior makes them uncomfortable, not because of what we're doing, because of how they're feeling, to me, then that kind of releases that hold all over me, like, or that I don't even have to expect them to be supportive. Like exactly like you said, this is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. On Saturdays, I take Charlotte's class and then I train with Russ. That's what I do at 9 mm-hmm. and 10. That's my choice. That's what I do. It's non-negotiable. I don't have to explain it to anyone.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And too, like if we are trying to force people to come along on this journey, that might lead to more people feeling resentful. Like, I really don't want to do this. She's making me do this. And that's pushing them actually further and further and further away from coming to that decision on their own. So that's just like another thing. Like when we try to force people to do certain things, we might actually be doing them a disservice. We think that we're helping them. We think that forcing them to drink the green juice is giving them nutrients and stuff. But in reality, it's kind of like making them further and further and further away from making that decision by themselves.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. I can say I've been guilty of that.
Oh, me too.
Just come take my yoga class. You should really take my yoga class. You should really take my yoga class.
Yep. Yep.
I don't do that anymore, but I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. My intent was pure.
Right. I do that in my relationship too. It's hard because when you really feel strongly about something and you want the other person to experience it, you want them to experience it because you care. So like me, like making all this food that I'm really excited about for my own health and just like making extra for Russ and leaving it for him. And then it sits in the fridge for 5 days and he's not interested in it at all. Like when he's ready, he'll ask me, oh, Char, can you make me extra? But if he's not ready, it's going to mold. So that's just a way to think about it.
I love that. No one wants moldy food in their fridge.
Speaking of, I have to clean out my fridge today. Thanks for reminding me.
I did a lot of organizing yesterday. It felt so good.
The best.
All right. Next question. Ooh, how do I get started when I don't know where to begin?
Oh, that's a deep question. And I feel like that's one that a lot of us experience because there's so much newness in our lives as we evolve. Like we're saying, we have the pull to try new things that can support our wellness. And I don't even have an answer right off the top of my head.
Well, because I don't think there is one clear answer. That's probably why you're feeling that way. So what's feeling strong in my heart right now is choose a beginning point. So for instance, those of you who saw my polls this week about your pain points, and I said, you may feel like it's all of them, all four of them, but pick the one deep in your heart right now. And then when you're forced, lovingly forced to make a choice, then you can pick one entry point, because wellness is so multifaceted. I mean, even just look at your four pillars of sustainable wellness, right? Like for somebody, you've done such a gorgeous job of stripping that down and making it attainable. But for somebody who goes, oh my God, I can't even do now. Now it's four pillars I have to master, right? So it's like wherever you are on your own path, some people are all in, all or nothing. And then other people are so overwhelmed by the all that they do nothing. So I would say, you know, I identify whether, like, what did I break it down yesterday? Movement, nutrition, relationships, and spirituality.
Yeah.
So if whatever you chose, where do you begin? You begin by prioritizing that one thing.
Yeah.
And then saying, how can I, and I'm a big fan of journaling this when you're starting something new that means something to you. Because if you've asked this question and you responded to the poll and you know, it probably means something to you, right? Yeah. So if it means something to you, grab a journal and then say, okay, this is my entry point. I'm picking one thing, and then choose two moments in the week, just two, where you can make that thing happen. So let's say, for instance, you picked movement. Two times this week, you're going to take a 10-minute walk, right? Or one time you're going to take a 10-minute walk. And then the second night you're going to do 10 minutes of stretching before bed, two times. And then you're going to journal how you feel. And then you'll do those two things a week until it feels no longer overwhelming. And it's like, what did you call it a couple of weeks ago? Mindlessly healthy.
Yeah. You're being mindlessly healthy. Yeah.
Mindlessly healthy.
So this is a habit.
Yeah. So this, all of a sudden, boom, I have a habit. Okay. What feels better now? I'm going to try three things a week. And I think that we have to look at moving the needle, even a microscopic amount is still movement and improvement. And that to me is like, that's a powerful way to gain ourselves this momentum into sustainable wellness. Because if I'm, if I'm picking something that I can really do, and that I'm really choosing to do and I can be reflective about, then it doesn't A, feel like a chore. It doesn't feel like I'm failing.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate when people say, oh, you want to start to meditate? Meditate 15 minutes just every day this week. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
No, try 3 days a week for 5 minutes. Right. And then let's see how you feel. And I think that we have to think about, like a child, right? If we're starting something new, think about that childlike energy, or a baby who's trying to walk for the first time and things like that. It's like, they don't just get up and just do it. Like, so we have to be able to choose an entry point, to be vulnerable and to be really, really kind to ourselves. But I think I would pick the biggest pain point, because in my experience, when I choose one thing and I focus on it, all of a sudden the other pieces of the puzzle, they start to fit. Do you agree with that?
Yes. I also think when it comes to wellness, like when we are choosing one thing, one entry point, we feel the benefits of it right away. And then it's kind of like this motivation, like, oh, this actually felt good. Yeah. Maybe I have some more energy to try something else. And things just naturally start to happen. I love this question and the answer that you started us on so much, because it's reminding me of the saying in yoga, pade pade, just one step at a time. I was co-teaching a wellness retreat 2 years ago with a health coach named Vanessa Cahen, or Cahen. Wait, Cahen? I don't even know how to pronounce it. I think it's Cahen, but she is the mama of Whole, Well, and Wild. And she is incredible. And she gave us this analogy where we were all sitting in the same room. I'll link her in the show notes. We were all sitting on chairs, and she said, think about little tiny steps. And she goes, if we're having this conversation and I just inch my chair back a centimeter, you don't even notice it. And then I do it again, like 30 seconds later, you don't even notice it, because we're still in this conversation. We're still like in our routine. 5 minutes from now, my chair is going to be all the way across the room. And it happened because little by little, I just moved a centimeter. And those centimeters, they add up. And it is like, this analogy can be seen in so many different avenues of life. Like, we think about saving money. You save 5 cents, you put it in a piggy bank every day. Oh my gosh, how much money are you going to have after a year? You can go out to dinner with all that money. And it just, those little tiny things add up. So I think it's so incredible to just recognize the power of starting small. And it's, I know we talked about our top, I forget what it was, top five favorite wellness books or something like that last season, Atomic Habits, even the title of that book, Atomic Habits, how big can these little things that we do become? They blow up and we're so much more well because of it. So I love that advice that you just gave. And I know that we can all find one tiny little thing to incorporate into our days, whether it's 2 times a week, 3 times a week, 5 minutes a week, like we can all start somewhere because it will add up.
And then just to end this question is like, wherever you choose that entry point and that tiny step, be so freaking proud.
Yeah.
Like, be so proud that you chose, you started, and you tried, because some people don't have the courage to try. Mm-hmm. So if you're trying, we see you and we know how hard it is. And listen, I started taking yoga just because I wanted to be healthy in my pregnant body. Mm-hmm. And then it led me to all these other places. And most of it was not a decision. It just kind of happened, like, you know, and then I started drinking the green juices and then I started doing the other things. Right. Yeah. So it's like, so I know that that's like, it's a really great gateway to this path of wellness. So great question. Mm-hmm. This actually is similar to the next question. But we'll get a little specific with maybe some tips. It says, I want to start a spiritual practice. Where do I start?
Mm. That's a great question. Spirituality is so different for everybody.
You read my mind. I was going to say the first step is to choose how you feel connected to spirit. What does that even mean?
Right. Yeah. What does that mean for you? What does it look like? What does it feel like? And it might not be what you grew up believing. I know a lot of people on this healing journey, as we evolve and as we get more curious with what we connect to on a spiritual level, we start to open our eyes and our hearts to different types of spirituality. Whatever you call it, God, the universe, angels,
source.
Source. I thought you said force, life force. But if you can find something that just feels bigger than you and try your best to connect to it, whatever that means. So like, I'll give you an example of what I do, spiritually. I believe in, I don't even know what I would call my belief, but the universe. I think that I've got a team of supporters in the universe. And I think my mom is on that team. And I look for little signs from her. So I decided, okay, a heart-shaped thing in nature is going to always be the sign for my mom that I'm on the right path. And just making that decision and like putting that into my heart, like etching it into my heart, has given me so much fulfillment and joy to just find those little heart shapes everywhere. And it's just this reminder, like I am so connected to what I'm choosing to believe. And it's helping me, it's helping me remember that there's something greater out there.
I love that. I think that like what you said is exactly what I was feeling, right? So it's like finding the one thing or the many things that makes you feel connected to spirit, right? It's the thing that reminds you that there's so much more out there, and that there's so like, there's this deep reservoir of love and abundance and joy, peace, and whatever that is. So if you, you know, for some of you listening, you have like maybe a strong spiritual sense already. Maybe you are connected to the religion that you, you know, grew up in, or that maybe you started later in life connecting to spirit, whatever that is for you. But what brings you that sense of serenity? Is it being out in nature? You know, is it being in some type of place where there's prayer, right? Whether you're in some type of temple or church or mosque or something like that, that feels like it brings you to a higher power. Maybe it's being in community, music, chanting, whatever that is. But I think it does start somewhere with clearing the mind. Because I think one of the biggest obstacles to starting a spiritual practice is surrendering to the mind chatter, as if like the mind chatter wins, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of people have said to me, like, I can't quiet my mind, so I can't have a spiritual practice, or I don't know how to quiet my mind, so I can't meditate. And it's like, nobody can.
Yeah.
Nobody can quiet the mind. That's what it is to be human, is to be on this hamster wheel of thoughts. when I first started practicing yoga, and I'm sure I've said this in seasons before, they say the mind is like a drunk monkey stung by a scorpion. Mm-hmm. So to think of that, it's like that bing, 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 that's what we're all experiencing. So finding moments where we can sit with that, you know, close the eyes for 30 seconds, take a couple of deep breaths before you get out of the car, kind of working with the mind, training the mind to quiet a little bit so that you can hear the other messages out there, so that you can hear those messages from spirit, from source, from the universe, from God, whatever it is that you believe. And then giving yourself more of that.
Yeah.
And it might start once again with opening up a journal and asking yourself, what does spirituality mean to me?
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's, everybody has a different definition.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, so make a list of what it means. And then once you identify what it means, find little things again that you can do throughout the day that connect you to that.
Yeah. I also interpret spirituality as purpose. So, like when I'm talking about spiritual wellness in terms of like the four pillars of wellness, I'm also talking about this feeling of feeling connected to a reason for being here.
Like your dharma.
Yeah, your dharma. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we find that out through quieting the mind. A lot of times we find that out through quieting the mind, but like also just being curious as to what makes you feel aligned and like, what does alignment actually feel like for you? I know a lot being aligned for me just kind of feels like calm and also abundant, because when I feel like I'm in alignment, there are opportunities that present themselves to me, whether the opportunity is as small as like finding a heart-shaped rock on the ground. That's when I feel aligned. But also don't be afraid to get to know yourself and what makes you feel purposeful. Mm. And like sometimes there's an answer to that question that just pops into your heart real quick when somebody's like, why are you here? I know for a lot of people, it's helping people. And that's a great place to start. So if somebody was to ask you, why are you here? And your first response is to help people. You write that down. And then you spend some time sitting, thinking about what does helping people mean? And then you kind of just like strip it down and see, does that mean you're a teacher? Does that mean you're a therapist? Does that mean you're a nurse? Does that mean you help animals? You volunteer somewhere? Whatever it means to you, it means to you. And that's for you to find out. So it's like, how can we give ourselves the space to find out?
Yeah. This journey of self-discovery, it's like, it's not so clear for all of us, right? It's not. Some of us have known, felt like a deep sense of calling and knowing for a long time. And some of us are like feeling like we're reinventing ourselves every couple of years.
Yeah.
But I think if you care about yourself to stay connected, to stay grounded, to feel a connection to something, you know, that's bigger than you, then it's worth the work. It's worth mm-hmm. the curiosity. It's worth doing things like you just said. And I just want to mention one thing before we move on. When you said, finding out your alignment or like maybe uncovering your core values. For those of you, if like when Charlotte said that, if you're like, I don't know, here's like a little hack. I feel like pay attention to the moments when you feel icky, mm. pay attention to the moments where, again, you're feeling that gut conflict, that mm-hmm. pay attention to the moment where you feel the lack of peace, because sometimes we have to acknowledge the negation of alignment
yeah.
to actually get ourselves to alignment. Mm.
That's a really great hack.
I'm glad it sounds good, because I know there are a lot of you out there that are like, I have no idea right now. Like I'm in it. I am struggling. My life feels murky and yucky and I just don't know. Start with that.
Yeah.
Acknowledge the lack of alignment and then keep at it. And I promise you, what feels aligned, what your core values are, they will reveal themselves. It just sometimes takes some time.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That's great.
Sure. Which is actually connected to the next question. Next question. I know exercise and wellness is important, but I feel like I don't have time. What Ooh. Do I do?
Wow. Mm. The wellness professional in me is like, you always have time.
Well, I think that we've also given some like strategies already for that. It's like finding those small baby steps, finding those moments in time. Because if you work full time, take care of kids, take care of your parents, take care of your pets, and maintain a household, you don't have 2 hours a day.
Right.
End of story. Because right. you have to prioritize your sleep, friends. Right. We need to be sleeping. Mm-hmm. We are no longer allowing ourselves to sleep 4 or 5 hours a night, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we want to try to put our bodies into that state of rest for, you know, if we can, for optimal time. So
yeah,
let's be honest about, let's just first and foremost be honest that time is a real concern.
Yeah.
But there are definite hacks and ways to work it out. Like, I do hate when people say things like, there are 24 hours in a day, you can find one. Okay, yeah. Well, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Let me start subtracting from my 24 hours
right.
and watch what's left. 24 seconds.
Right. Right. And I think that's why it's important to develop those habits that yep. keep us mindlessly healthy. So, like, say you don't have time, or say that majority of your time is spent working. I've seen so many cool things that you can do as you're working, like a walk, like a desk treadmill mm-hmm. or a desk bike thing. Like, all of that movement is, it adds up. Just like we were talking a couple questions back, like, it adds up. And I think that there are way more opportunities to move while we're in the middle of a busy day than we think. And it's about discovering those things.
I totally agree with that. And choosing those things. So yeah. I think I've mentioned this before on the podcast that my friend and colleague and I, we take a 10-minute mental health walk every day.
Yeah.
We're like the postal service. Like, what is it? Rain, sleet, snow. Like, yeah. pretty much nothing can stop us. I didn't walk during the yellow smoke, but
good.
That
better
was
off.
Probably the only couple of days I skipped.
Yeah.
I have a 45-minute lunch period. Some of those days I'm having extra help lunch lab, right? So there it's already stripped down to 22 and a half minutes.
Yeah.
So what am I going to do with the time that I have? That 10 minutes makes me feel like I have so much more time for the rest of the day, because it resets me. It gets me out in nature. It gets some fresh air into my lungs. It gets my heart rate moving. Sometimes I break out into a nice little healthy sweat.
Yeah.
And then I come back in and I'm like, okay, the second part of my day feels a little bit more manageable because I just exercised my brain and my body. Mm-hmm. But I have to choose those 10 minutes. And I know it can be annoying. Like, I know, like, some people are like, why do you have to do this every day? Well, because I'm choosing to find the time, because I know that I don't always have it elsewhere.
Yeah. That's your non-negotiable.
That's my non-negotiable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I used to work in corporate, I would eat lunch at my desk, and I would use my lunch break to go to either the gym that we had in our mm-hmm. office, or take a walk outside. Sometimes I would bring my yoga mat and just change into yoga clothes and go on the front lawn of our office building and move. And people were like, what the heck is that girl doing? But I was prioritizing my movement. And right. I don't know, like, how are you going to multitask? Are you going to eat lunch? I know I love to eat mindfully, but like right. sometimes we have to switch it up a little bit, and mm-hmm. we have to eat while we're on a conference call, or eat while we are answering emails, so that we can take that other side note. As a corporate wellness partner, take your lunch break, whatever that means for you. Mm-hmm. If you're using your lunch break to eat lunch, or if you're using your lunch break to move. Also, the HR in me is like, if you're not taking your lunch break, there's an issue there.
take it.
There's a reason that we have breaks. But sometimes we just have to get creative in how we are bringing movement into our days.
Yeah. And I think starting again with, like, to me, 10 minutes feels really good.
Yeah.
Because everybody can find 10 minutes. Like, a half hour feels like a lot. And I shouldn't say everybody, the average person, you can find 10 minutes. Because mm-hmm. if, when you look at it like this, like, if I have a 45-minute lunch break, I take a 10-minute walk, I still have 35 minutes to eat, go to the bathroom, fix my hair, whatever it is that you want to do, talk yeah. to your friends, like, you know, feed that social relationship, yep. but finding those 10 minutes and then seeing how you feel, and seeing how you feel in the absence of it. Right. So let's say you get home and you go into the house, and like right away you start. I used to do this when my kids were little, like you start the second part of your day without mm-hmm. even thinking about it. Well, maybe that can be a bridge right there, a 10-minute bridge that you can change your shoes, grab your dog's leash and go for a 10 minute walk, or throw your kids in the stroller or put them on their bicycles and take a 10 minute walk. And that's it, like 10 minutes. Dinner can wait 10 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe you're, you know, you get your kids from the bus stop and everybody, instead of going straight home, you walk around the block for 10 minutes or something like that, you know, drive to the bus stop, put everybody's backpacks in the car and do that.
Yeah.
And I know not everybody has kids and not everybody has a pet, but I'm just giving like little examples of things that I have done that have worked over the years because I know how challenging it is. But I want to say that if you're doing a lot of sitting and you're doing a lot of driving, if you have like a decent commute, this is even more important because the research that shows how excessive sitting is doing to our body and our well-being, it's really detrimental. So any place that we can counteract it is really, really so, so important.
Definitely. Yeah. I love that question. And it's, I don't know, it's inspiring me to find other little pockets of movement too, because it, like we said, it all adds up.
Yeah, it all adds up. And then when you start to feel better and when you start to feel stronger, then you have that deeper sense of vitality throughout the day. So I think that in our culture, we feel like we so much have this go big or go home. Yeah. If I can't go to the gym for a full hour, then I'm not going to go at all.
Right.
Like, why not? Like, be strong enough to be the person who goes into the gym for 10 minutes.
Right. Yeah. Right?
I'm literally going to go on that treadmill for 10 minutes. I'm going to go on that bike for 10 minutes. Like, that's okay. Yeah. And then on the days where you can do more, you do more.
Yeah.
And on this, in the seasons when you can do more, you do more.
Right.
Because there are going to be seasons in our lives where we'll have more time, and there will be seasons in our lives where we have less time.
Yeah.
I think we just have to be mindful of the way we treat ourselves in the seasons when we have less time. Our last question is kind of a doozy. I'm like, I don't know how long we are so far in this recording, but it's, why does nutrition and eating healthy feel so challenging?
One word: effort.
Effort.
It takes effort. I hate meal prepping.
So do I.
I hate it.
It's the worst.
It's the worst. It takes so much effort. Then my feet hurt from standing in the kitchen all the time. Like, you're not alone. Whoever asked this question or whoever is feeling like they have a little bit of a struggle bus when it comes to eating well, like, we feel you.
Totally. And there are days where I'm like, if I have to pack breakfast, snack, and lunch one more time, I'm going to throw my lunchbox out the window.
I get it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's why, like, we've been, we've done a few meal delivery services, and it is so worth it. Mm. If you have the extra money to spend on like an Eat Better Meals delivery service or something like that, it helps. Effort. When things are not natural to us, a lot of us don't like cooking. Many people who do like cooking, I'm so jealous of you if you're blessed with that gene to enjoy spending time in the kitchen. But it's not natural to a lot of us, and it takes time to cook food that we know will nourish our bodies. And at the same time, it's so worth it.
The way that
we feel, like, nutrition totally impacts how we feel and how we perform and
everything. Food is medicine.
Food is medicine. Yeah. And I think just like finding ways that we can, here's the word of the episode, habits, finding ways that we can just have allowing nutritious food to enter our vicinity in a mindless way. Like, whether it's every Sunday, I'm just going to click reorder on my groceries and go pick them up. Or every time I grocery shop and I come home and I unpack the groceries, I'm just going to chop up vegetables so they're easy for me to take out. It's all about creating habits, I think.
Yeah. And it's funny, as you're saying this, I'm remembering years and years and years ago, I worked with a woman, and while she was like cooking or meal prepping, she would like do squats and leg lifts in the kitchen. So talk about maximizing time.
Oh yeah.
You know, like, chop a piece of celery, do 10 squats.
Yeah. I love that.
Chop up some lettuce, run in place for a minute. I don't know, but it has to be that thing. When you decide that it's important, then I think that you push past the effort, because for instance, like, taking care of another being, whether it's like a pet, a family member, whatever it is, like, it takes a lot of effort, but nobody would just stop doing it because it's hard.
Right.
So I think that once we prioritize it as like a non-negotiable, we find the time to do it.
Mm-hmm. Something that I love recently that I've heard is choose your hard. So like meal prepping and prioritizing the food that you're eating is hard, but so is feeling sluggish and having awful blood test numbers. Like choose your hard, which one is it going to be? And sometimes I think for me, like I so much more prefer soft motivation and like, you got this, Char, come on, you can do it. You can meal prep, but also this like big sister energy of like, which one is it going to be? Choose your hard. Both are going to take effort. Why not just put the effort into making food? Like sometimes I need that little bit of a like push.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, you're right. It can be simple.
Right. And it's true with a lot of what we said in this episode, right? So yeah. It's like going back to like relationships, going back to question one, it's like, choose your hard. Do you, you know, it's hard to be alone and start over, but it's also really hard to stay in a relationship that is unsupportive and challenging and not, you know, that's not contributing to your wellness journey, but instead like detracting from it. It's all challenging, but there's so much reward on the other end of feeling well and feeling healthy enough to live a full life. I mean, that's the goal, right? The goal is for us to be able to live life to the fullest, whatever that means for each individual. And when we make these choices and when we work towards these habits, I mean, that's really the theme of today's episode. It's like choosing small steps, atomic habits, right? Like being mindlessly healthy. That's really what I think where all of the answers to all of these questions can kind of fit into those buckets.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so hard to be well.
Mm-hmm.
And the choices that we make every single day, they compound and they get us to a version of us that is a little bit more well than the version of us from yesterday and the day before and the day before. And the more that we do these things, like the choose your hard, they become less hard. They become mm-hmm. less difficult. So if we just decide we're going to bite the bullet and start to meal prep every Sunday, carve out an hour of the day to just meal prep or whatever it is for you, order your groceries, grocery shop, then that just gets caked in. Like that just gets baked into the cake of what your Sunday is. And then it's like, oh, okay. Like somebody invites you. Oh, do you want to go bowling or something like that? It's like, oh, sorry. What's really important to me is meal prepping. Can we go on a walk afterwards?
Mm.
It's like that. It's that I won't versus I can't. Instead of, oh, I can't go on a walk today. It's like, no, I won't because I have to go grocery shopping.
Then we're uncovering a lot of joy that comes, right? Like mm-hmm. it's like it's a little bit of a delayed gratification in the beginning mm-hmm. because you know, when you said wellness is hard, I'm going to say somebody coming off of that 4 to 6 week really challenging period in my life that I talked about a couple episodes ago,
mm-hmm.
being unwell is really hard.
Yeah.
And there was no joy in that. I wasn't able to find, you know, lightness or joy. It was all my effort was being put into healing. And that when we choose wellness, there is like a return on our investment,
yeah.
right? There really is. We start, whatever it is, we're sleeping better. Our libido increases. We're, you know, we're feeling more confident in our skin and in our clothes, and we're attracting really great people in our lives. All of those are like byproducts of choosing that type of hard.
Yeah.
As opposed to, no one's choosing to be sick, right? Like
right.
No, we don't want to, that's not our choice, but that's often the byproduct of being unwell.
Right.
Even for myself, I know that I'm a human and that humans get sick, but I could look back at my stress levels, what was happening in my life. And I could say, yeah, I probably had some choices that allowed me to slip below my wellness line, probably making me more vulnerable
mm-hmm.
to what else was out there, making me not necessarily at my optimal health to fight off something.
Mm-hmm.
So I got hit really, really hard. So there's always that sense of like finding this balance, finding the choices, and then allowing ourselves to feel the joy.
Yeah.
But I mean, again, this is not the podcast where we're going to pretend like there's one quick answer and that everybody's going to fit into the same bucket and everything's going to be easy, because that's like a total, crock of, you know what, like, that's just not the truth. It's not going to be said here. We're never going to say like, do these three things and everything will be perfect. But what we will say is that we're trying this right along with you. And we're always here to listen and create a supportive conversation where you don't feel like you're alone on this path.
Yeah. And I think one question that we can ask ourselves every day, and that can also like lend itself to all the questions that we've addressed today so far, is asking ourselves, is this choice supporting my wellness or not supporting my wellness? Mm-hmm. And that can be for every single category that we've talked about before. So if that's the one thing that you take away from this episode, is this ability to ask yourself and to question what you're doing and what you're choosing, because we know that the more we choose yes, the more we choose yes, this decision is supporting my wellness, the more the needle points towards wellness. Mm-hmm. And if we're constantly choosing, okay, this isn't supporting my wellness, this isn't supporting my wellness, all those little choices compound too and add up to being unwell. Mm-hmm. So we have the ability to choose wellness so many more times than we think.
Yeah.
And sometimes the answer is going to be no. And that's also part of being a human. But remember that you are so much more empowered, or you can be so much more empowered than you feel like.
Mm. Yeah. Because then when we choose yes, most of the time, when we skip the gym or we skip the walk, or we go for the unhealthy meal, whatever it is, or we hang out with the people that we know, maybe this is not the best group for me, it's okay, because, mm-hmm. you know, we've had so much more time on the yes side, mm-hmm. that it's okay. We'll recover.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. So I thought this was a great way to end this season. Thank you so much for your feedback, everybody. I thought this was a really nice way to just sum this up. And hopefully this is a nice anchor for people to come back to, because these questions, they don't go away, right? They're here for us all at mm-hmm. just at different points in our lives.
Yeah. We have a lot to look forward to for season 5.
Yes.
But if you're just joining us, if you're relatively new to the Stronger Together community, first of all, welcome and thank you for being here. And second of all, now you have this little time to catch up on all of our 60 episodes where we dive into a lot. Like, there's a lot that we chat about, and we're so excited to come back for season 5. Our email address is going to be open during our hiatus, during our break. So if you have anything that's on your heart that you want to share with us that you think maybe would make a good conversation, podcaststrongertogether@gmail.com is there for you.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I can't believe the season's ending. We love you. We see you. We appreciate you. We are here for you. Thank you all so, so much.
So much. And we will, we'll see you on social media.
Till next time.
Till season 5, baby.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
We hoped you loved that episode of Stronger Together.
And if you did, can you please share it with your friends and your family and your neighbors?
Yes, help us get this out there so that we can connect with more people.
And guess what? Spotify allows you to rate now. So if you're listening on Spotify, can you please rate for us? And yes. Apple Podcasts lets you review. So review.
5 stars on Spotify and tell us what you love about the podcast. We are so happy that you're part of this community.
We love you.